But we have been working real hard preparing for Holy Week, and we have a play upcoming, All Out Praise Fest. And we really want you all to be a part of it. But doing this Praise Fest, we've been going over and over and over the story of Jesus and what happened and who was there and who said what and how did it get said. And Saints, I just want to invite you to come on out on Thursday and Friday. Because if you really can put yourself in the scene of what happened that day, that week, you get a better understanding of who Jesus is, Saints, who Jesus really is. Saints, you have a sermon outline to follow along with me in your bulletins today. And if we could look and see, what is the title of today's sermon? Is Jesus really real? This is part two of a three-part sermon series that Pastor Toby kicked off last week. And Pastor Toby began us with part one, and she began by asking us a question. And she asked all of us, who is Jesus to us? Who is Jesus to us? And Pastor Toby set us up in this great stage. She put us right in the scene, Saints. Just like today we have the scene of what it would be like on the cross, Pastor Toby gave us the scene of what was it like right before that week of Holy Week began. And she described for us the vision of the Last Supper. And she talked to us about Jesus and his disciples in this room getting served a meal. And she told us about how the table looked and how the chairs were set up. And she gave us this description of the U-shaped table. You remember the horseshoe-shaped table. Remember that? And she talked to us about how the disciples would have lain on couches and they would have been resting on their elbow just to eat their bread and drink their wine. And their heads were facing this way and their feet were facing to the opposite direction. And they were enjoying this meal, Saints. And Mary came along and she had been serving the food, but then she came along with this special, expensive perfume, Pastor Toby told us. And she told us that Jesus, she took this special perfume and she began to anoint Jesus, his body and his head. And then Judas, she told us, asked, why is she wasting all of this perfume? Why is she wasting this money when we can sell this perfume and give it the money to the poor? You remember telling us all about that? So Pastor Toby began to help us to understand how people react to and respond to Jesus. And she told us about three different types of folks. She told us there are some that just completely reject Jesus flat out. And that was the example of Judas, who just rejected Jesus. Even though he saw him and ate with him, he rejected Judas straight out. Then she told us about those that were moderately devoted. Those Christians that had just a little bit of devotion, that just believed just a little bit in God, but they really didn't want to change too much. Amen. Remember that? They want some of God, but not all of God, just enough of God that God won't ask me to change. And then she went on to tell us about those Christians that just go completely nutty and completely insane, and they fall head over heels in love with Jesus. And she gave us the example of Mary, Saints. And for the purpose of this sermon, we're going to focus on that middle group, that disciple group that began off with that moderate devotion. Remember that? She talked about that. And that moderate devotion some kind of way turned into these disciples, because at the end of her sermon, she talked about the disciples going from being moderately devoted to completely head over heels in love for Jesus, Saints. And Saints, my question to us right now is, how did these disciples go from being these skeptical men to these men who gave all for Christ? How did they go from being these moderately devoted Christians to Christians who would serve Christ for the rest of their lives? How did they go from walking upon the earth with Jesus to saying, Jesus, we're going to begin to build your church? What happened to them that they began to say, Jesus is not a mere man who walked upon the face of the earth? They went from saying Jesus is a man to Jesus is God dwelling with us. Emmanuel, God with us. So what happened to these moderately devoted men that they went from this low self safe level of worship and devotion to being over the top for Jesus. What happened? We have to ask ourselves that question, Saint. What moves one of us from being a lukewarm Christian to being on fire for the Lord? What is it that happens in our lives that changes us? Well, I begin with another question that helps us to really think about why we move. And it all begins when we ask ourselves a few questions. We begin by saying, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Is Jesus really real? Is Jesus really real? And if Jesus is really real, what does that mean for my life? If Jesus is real and all that he went through and all that he happened exactly as the scriptures told us, what does that mean for our lives? You see, saints, I believe the Holy Week events and all those events that happened this week during Holy Week, the people of God were experiencing something. They were seeing something. Something happened around Jesus that changed their lives. They were never the same again. So we're going to begin with that first question of who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? When we're asking a question like that, who is Jesus, it would seem logical to ask the people who actually knew Jesus, right? I mean, if somebody from Texas came right now to Cleveland, Ohio, and they walked in the building of Glenville and said, who is Pastor Toby? Who is Pastor Rick? Would we send them all the way downtown, into the mall, tell them to go to the Gap store and ask the manager, who is Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby? No, we wouldn't do that, right? It would seem strange to send them all the way downtown to Cleveland to say, you know, go ask them who Pastor Toby is. You know, they might watch the video show, the TV broadcast. They might get on the internet and see our website and know a little bit about Pastor Toby and a little bit about Pastor Rick. But if you truly want to know who Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby are, wouldn't it seem logical to ask the people who actually know them? All right, so we all in agreement on that. So when we're looking at Jesus, it would seem logical to ask the question of those who knew him. Who was around Jesus? Who saw him? It would only have us to turn to the 12 disciples. I mean, the disciples would have heard it all. They would have seen it all, right? They saw Jesus raise people from the dead. They saw Jesus with blood and tears flowing off his body in the Garden of Gethsemane. They saw Jesus complete all of these miracles, saints. So why not ask them who Jesus is? I mean, saints, if you think about it, we already know that they were skeptical. They were just like us. They had some doubts. And we know that because in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was praying for his life, what did the disciples do? They went to sleep. They couldn't realize who they were in the presence of, so they struggled, and we knew that. But in spite of their struggles, they stayed, and they saw all of these things. The disciples were average, ordinary men, saints, but they had an inside advantage, and they saw some things, and they heard some things that the everyday people just don't get to see. And I'm sure when these disciples saw these things happening, I mean, can you imagine if you were there and Jesus goes and raised Lazarus from the dead? I mean, I'd be like, hey, what's that all about? How are you doing that? Wouldn't you have asked some questions if you weren't a disciple? You would have said, who is this man? Who is this man that can heal the sick and raise the dead? And who is this man that can walk on water? And who is this man that can quiet the winds? And who is this man that can change water into wine? I don't know about you, but I would have been doing a whole lot of question asking if I was that. But if we want to ask who is Jesus, we need to start with those who knew Jesus the best. And that would take us to Peter, John, and James. You see, even though there were 12 disciples, there were three who got to know him even better than all 12. And the disciple John, we're told, was the one that was called the beloved of Jesus. the beloved. I mean, he leaned back on Jesus' chest. And if you can imagine that, people want to get flighty about that. But Pastor Toby told us how they were eating and they were getting their full on. And you know what we do when we get full? We kind of lean back. We want to rest a little bit. So here they are, and it wasn't as if each person had their own individual couches. They had to share space. It was a small room, so it would be three men on one couch. And so they would just get there full on and just lean back and say, oh, my goodness, what a great meal. And here is John, the beloved of Jesus. Wouldn't you think he knew Jesus better than anybody else? So all of these disciples had opportunity to describe who Jesus was. And many of them made many attempts to sit down and write down exactly who Jesus was. Now, if we all have read the Gospels, there are four Gospels, and all of them are different, right? All of them tell the story just a little bit differently. And some people would say, well, that's how we know that's not true anyway, because they all told the story different, saints. Well, if they had told the story exactly the same, word for word, you know what we would have said? They all told the story exactly the same. That's how we know it's not the truth. We are all different. So they all gave different perspectives. And John began his story very different from the others. You see, John, the others began their story with his birth. They wanted to describe how he was born and who his parents were and how he came into the world. But John got so excited like me, he just skipped right to the end. He said, I'm going to show you exactly who this Jesus was. And in the very beginning of his book, he begins with us, and if we could see it together, let's read it together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John is huge on this. He doesn't even waste any time. He said, I'm not dealing with the birth. I'm not dealing with all the mama. I'm not dealing with who his daddy was. I want to tell you who he was. He said, Jesus was God. Jesus was God. And then Peter says, a little later on, because Jesus knew that people would doubt. Jesus knew people was confused. So Jesus asks himself, and if we can look at Matthew 16, he says, but what about you, he asks, who do you say I am? So Jesus knew they were struggling, and he said, who do you say I am? So Peter said what? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God. So Jesus says, hold on now. You just didn't get this out of anywhere. And Jesus responds to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by the Father in heaven. They were saying something huge here, saints. Jesus, the Son of the living God. Now, saying sometimes it may be difficult for us as people, or including us as Christians, to believe that Jesus is fully human and fully God. And we say, whoa, how is that possible? How could he have done that? How could he be fully human and fully God? All we got to do is ask ourselves, this is God. He created the universe. He created the moon and the stars. He created everything on the earth. He even figured out how we can blink our eyes. He figured out every little detail and knows how many hairs is on the top of our head, and we can question that he could become fully God and fully human at the same time. God is deep. So let me take you back just a little bit further. When Peter said, you are the Son of the living God, he wasn't just saying that Jesus was someone's child. It's not like when I say, James, you are my son. Doesn't work like that. James is my son. See, that shows relationship. But back in the day, the Hebrews would have never understood it that way. Because when you said someone was the son of, that meant you were identical. You were exactly the same. There was no difference between you. So when Jesus was referred to as the Son of God, they weren't just showing relationship. They were saying Jesus is God. Jesus is God. That's huge, saints. That is so huge. Can you imagine these disciples, everyday, average, ordinary men who spent 3 years with Jesus and they were watching him, saints? Watching him. How many of us as Christians know that people are watching us? If you don't know somebody's watching every one of your moves, you got to wake up. Because they watch as soon as you on that highway and someone cusses you out, they watching to see what you going to do back. When you at school and them kids getting on your nerves, oh, they watching to see how you going to respond. When you at their workplace and everybody else is clowning, they just waiting. They waiting to see what you going to do. And can you imagine having the opportunity to be able to watch Jesus? I mean, to really see every little movement that he made. I mean, watching him sleep, watching him eat, watching him pray, walking beside him down these roads, talking to him, speaking to him. I mean, what does his voice sound like? And being able to say anything you wanted to ask him. The disciples must have thought at some point, could it really be true? Is this man who is walking with me and eating with me and teaching me the eternal God? They must have said that, saints. I mean, this was a huge statement to make. Jesus is the Son, is God? Jesus is God? We can't take this lightly. We cannot take what the disciples saw and heard and experienced lightly. They didn't just one day jump to this conclusion, saints. I love when people think all Christians became Christians because all of a sudden we got a fuzzy feeling. Something felt real good. Oh, slap me. I became a Christian today. As if we didn't put any thought to it. As we didn't think about it. As if we just took our brain out of our head and left it to the side and said, oh, I'm just going to let my feelings guide me. That sounds good. Saints, but these men were intelligent men. I mean, how could you come up with those words in these Bibles? These were intelligent men. And they had to memorize the entire Old Testament. Now, how many of you struggle with memorizing just a couple scriptures? I know. And these men had to memorize the entire Old Testament. Then we turn around and act like they don't know anything. But we come to Christianity not just with a feeling. And thank God, because a lot of us lose that feeling. And if we lose that feeling, then we out the door. But we don't just come by Christianity with a feeling. It's because we've thought about it. We've read about it. There's evidence that supports what we believe, saints. So when these disciples came to this conclusion that Jesus is God, this was huge. This was huge, saints. I mean, just think about it. Who do you say I am, Pastor Kelly? Who am I?
Pastor Kelly.
Pastor Kelly, right? Y'all seem a little confused. Do you know who's in the building today? Yes, I'm Pastor Kelly. Now, what would you think all of a sudden if, you know, somebody in the back there began to say, oh, that's a good teacher, that Pastor Kelly, and that's a good preacher, that Pastor Kelly. She must be God. Yeah, y'all get the picture. It wouldn't even go over that well. Even I myself would be looking at y'all like, what's wrong with you? You know I'm not God. We would all say, I don't think so. I mean, the average, ordinary person would be just plain hesitant to make a comment like that. I mean, we would all agree that there are a lot of good preachers, there are a lot of good teachers around, but many of us wouldn't be so quick to say that is God, right? So what was happening with these men and these women and these disciples that led them to the conclusion that Jesus is the Son of the living God? Why would they say that, saints? Why would they say Jesus is God? Now, saints, I just want you to do like this and press the pause button. Boop, pause. Because we're just going to stop there at that point where Jesus is God. Because some of y'all are struggling even with that concept. Because we got to back up. Because before we can get to the point of saying Jesus is God, some of us got to even just believe Jesus is real. Before we can say Jesus is God, some of us got to ask the question, was he real? Was he some kind of fairy tale? Who was this Jesus? Did he ever even exist? I mean, that's where we are some days. We believe more in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus than we do with Jesus, saints. We do. I mean, I remember when I was a very new mom and Whitney was just a little bitty baby. And how dare somebody tell my child Santa Claus wasn't real? Don't you tell my baby that I'm over here making all these Christmas presents and hiding them and making Christmas so special just to be able to tell her Santa Claus bought all that stuff. I'm sorry, little kids. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, parents. You know, if I'm ruining your secret. But sometimes we get upset when we say Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny isn't real. But we don't get upset when somebody says Jesus is not real. We do not get upset when someone says Jesus is not real. I mean, we get upset when somebody mentions Jesus or prayer in the school, but then they go hanging up Santa Claus pictures and the Easter Bunny, and don't nobody say nothing about that. Like, would you please take down that picture of Santa Claus and teach my baby the real meaning of Christmas, and please take down the Easter Bunny and teach my baby the real meaning of Easter. But some of us need to really just stop and figure out, was Jesus real? Did he exist? Was he a person on the face of the earth, saints? That's what we need to begin asking ourselves. Was he here? Well, I have some answers for us, saints, because, you see, if Jesus was not a real living person here on this earth, if Jesus did not exist, then everything that surrounds Jesus comes into question. Every part of the Bible comes into question. How can we say that there was a Palm Sunday? Why are we here waving palms? Why are we waving palms if Jesus was not here? What is the purpose of this? Our holidays would change if Jesus didn't exist. Why are we celebrating Christmas, saints? Why are we celebrating Easter? Why do we celebrate all these things if Jesus didn't exist, saints? Saints, we look at our scripture reading today from the book of Zechariah. And if you could show that for me, Karen, look at this. It says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey or on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Okay. This is Zechariah, saints. Zechariah lived way before Jesus. Who is he talking about riding on a donkey if Jesus was not real? If Jesus was not real, saints, why come and lay down palms for somebody that was not real, that did not exist, saints? Why talk about being beaten and crucified on the cross and being rose again from the dead 3 days later if all these things didn't happen? Because, saints, if these things didn't happen and Jesus wasn't real, why are we up? Why you get up this morning and get all nice looking and shiny dressed and come to church to sit down and listen to me if Jesus is not real? Saints, if all these things did not happen, our entire world would be different. Everything in our world would be different. I mean, just think about this for a while. Just sit on it. Just really, really think about Jesus' story. Think about his life, his death, his resurrection. They're not just ever only about Jesus. Jesus is never the only person in any of the stories that are told about him. There are witnesses to every story, saints. And if Jesus is not real, then those witnesses that were there aren't real either. When they talk about the crowds of people singing Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, and they came up with this brilliant song, Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Who are those people? Who are they? If Jesus is not real, those people weren't real. That donkey wasn't real. None of that happened. If Jesus wasn't real, then this group of people called the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they don't exist either. And if Jesus is not real, then Lazarus wasn't real. Mary wasn't real. Mary Magdalene wasn't real. The woman at the well, all these people just poof and disappear. They weren't real. To say Jesus is not real is to say that every person in the Bible is not real. Because you see, saints, all of those people lead up to Jesus. All of those people lead up to Jesus. You know, it's funny that we always hear people say Jesus wasn't real, but no one ever says Abraham wasn't real. No one ever says Moses wasn't real. No one ever says Isaac and Jacob and Ishmael wasn't real. And all those people in the Bible that are listed, no one ever says they weren't real. To erase Jesus is to erase the Bible itself. So if Jesus wasn't real, the people who were around Jesus weren't real, and also the places that Jesus walked upon weren't real either, saints. Ask yourself another question. Where's Jerusalem? Anybody know where Jerusalem is?
Israel.
Where's Israel? In the Middle East. You can look at it and find it on a map, can't you? It's one of the oldest cities in the world. So if Jesus wasn't real, where was he walking? What city did he go into upon that donkey? Jerusalem must not be real, and we must all be pretending that Jerusalem exists, you know? Ask yourself another question. If Jesus wasn't real, and this story from all the way from back to Adam and Eve with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if all of this stuff didn't happen, why are the Israelis fighting the Palestinians? Someone asked you today, well, what's the problem in the Middle East? What's the big deal, the Palestinians and the Israelis, if I can get that word? Why are they fighting? We would all say that fight goes all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael, wouldn't we? We would say that these places are real places where Jesus walked, where Jesus taught, where Jesus spent time teaching and preaching and healing and rising from the dead. If Jesus didn't exist, then why do we have a Jerusalem? Why do we have an Israel? Why do we have all these places that existed all the way through the Bible? Where did they come from? Where did they come from? Saints, I know many of us struggle because people think the only evidence of Jesus is in the Bible. The only evidence of Jesus is in the Bible. Well, that's not true, saints. There's lots of evidence of Jesus outside of the Bible. People who were everyday people, people who were important people, talked about Jesus, saints. Why would they talk about somebody that wasn't real, that didn't exist? Saints, if you look at this with me on our outline, it's from the Jewish Talmud. And the Jewish Talmud is like the book of the Bible for the Jewish people. Now, Jesus didn't make the Jews look good at all. He didn't make them look good at all. In fact, they look pretty bad next to Jesus, saints. So it would be in their best interest not to say his name one time. It would be in their best interest not to mention him at all or say anything about him, act like he didn't completely exist, right? So we have here the Jewish Talmud, and this is what it says if you read that with me from the word on. On the eve of the Passover, Yeshua was hanged. For 40 days before the execution took place, a herald went forth and cried, "He is going forth to be stoned, because he has practiced sorcery and enticed Israel to apostasy. Anyone who can say anything in his favor, let him come forward and plead on his behalf. But since nothing was brought forward in his favor, he was hanged on the eve of the Passover." Another early reference in the Talmud speaks of five of Jesus' disciples and recounts their standing before judges who make individual decisions about each one, deciding that they should be executed. However, no actual deaths are recorded. We won't find this in the Bible. This is not in the Bible. This is a whole separate person writing about the events of Holy Week. If Jesus wasn't real, why would they be writing about him? If Jesus wasn't real, why would they bring him up at all? If Jesus wasn't real, why would they mention the disciples? If Jesus wasn't real, why would they say that no one came forward for him? Why would they say these things, saints? We don't even have to ask just the people of faith. We can look at Flavius Josephus. This was another man. He worked for an emperor, Vespasian. Completely outside, had nothing to do with Christianity, nothing at all. He was just like, you know, if you would think of the Queen of England, somebody that worked for the Queen of England, and he wrote down details that happened throughout the lifetime of them. Let's read this at what he says. At this time, there was a wise man who was called Jesus, and his conduct was good, and he was known to be virtuous, and many people from among the Jews and other nations became his disciples. Pilate condemned him to be crucified and to die. And those who had become his disciples did not abandon his discipleship. They reported that he had appeared to them 3 days after his crucifixion and that he was alive. Accordingly, he was perhaps the Messiah concerning whom the prophets have recounted wonders. Hallelujah. Why, oh why, is this man who has nothing to do with Christianity. He is not a disciple. He is not a follower. He is just this man talking about Jesus. A person that worked with the emperor, and he writes not only about Jesus, but he says the name Pilate. And then he talks even more about the crucifixion, saints. And then he says, 3 days later, Jesus appeared. This too is not in the Bible, saints. There are many, many outside evidences of Jesus Christ. Even we think about the Quran, the holy book of the Muslims. I love that Jesus allows us the freedom and the privilege to explore him and to wonder and to think about him and to go look at every source and to find out, are you really real? He says, search me and know me. Look at every book and figure it out, saints. And if you look at the Quran, it surprised me the most that the Quran talks a whole lot about Jesus. It talks a whole lot about the virgin birth. You see, saints, the prophet Muhammad had heard about Jesus, and he was trying to fix some errors that he thought had happened, saints. And he thought that, you know, if he would retell a story, that some kind of way they would get it right, saints. But who was the prophet Muhammad talking about, saints, if there was no Jesus? If there was no Jesus, then millions of people that call themselves Islam are following it for no reason, saints. Why are they Muslim? Because they were trying to correct the mistakes that the disciples had made, saints. But let me ask you again, saints. Remember I asked you if you were coming from Texas or somebody came from Texas to ask us about Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby. Will we send them downtown?
No.
No. So, someone's coming to ask you about Jesus. You asked Muhammad, who didn't know Jesus at all, didn't sleep next to him, didn't eat with him, just completely rejected him. Would you ask Muhammad, or would you ask John, who knew him, who was claimed to be the beloved one? I think we're getting this right, saints. So here we are. The Quran even speaks of Jesus Christ, saints. So we've established, is Jesus real, saints? Was he a real person that walked upon the face of this earth? Did he exist? Did he eat and sleep and talk and teach? Did he walk through the gates of Jerusalem on those paths, saints? He was here. He is real. He really existed, saints. Now go back and take that pause button back off. Because if he was real and he existed and all these things happened, who does that mean he is? Jesus is the Son of the living God, fully man, fully God at the same time. John said it right in the beginning when he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God, and he dwelt among us. And if you need further proof, saints, there are prophecies in the Bible. People started talking about Jesus long before Jesus even touched the earth. The prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, all of them talked about Jesus. How could they talk about this person if they didn't know who he was, saints? Saints, there are many prophecies, over 400 prophecies in the Bible, saints. And I'm just going to focus right now on eight. Eight prophecies, saints. The birth happened at a specific place, a time, and in a specific manner. The death happened at a specific time, a specific place, and in a specific manner. People even talked, our prophets even talked, how would people react? They even told us that his side would be pierced. They told us where he would be buried, saints. These all happened before Jesus ever entered the scene, saints. What do you think the odds are that one person could fulfill just eight of those prophecies? What do you think the odds are? Just take a good guess. 1 million? A little bit higher. It's actually 1 trillion to 1 just to fulfill eight of the prophecies. Now, what do you think the odds would be for someone to fulfill 400 of those prophecies? For 100 100 of those prophecies. You don't even know the number, how many. Let me try to give you the number. Write this down. 1 trillion, 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 1 trillion. And then add some plus signs behind it. That are the odds, and that's to one person. That are the odds that one person will fulfill all of those prophecies. And Jesus did it. He's the only one that ever has, the only one that will ever will, saints. Saints, what happened in the New Testament, the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the entire Bible story from the fall of Adam and Eve until the resurrection of Christ, and then through to Christ's return, all happened, and it actually mattered, saints. If these events had not happened, I've already said it, our entire world would be different. The decisions that we make would be different. The way we walk, the way we talk, the way we act and think and speak, everything would be different, saints. Of course, Satan wants us to believe that there is no God and there is no Jesus. It's so easy to say there is no God and there is no Jesus, because guess what? Then we don't have to be accountable for our lives. We can do what we want to do. We can live how we want to live. We can spend our money how we want to spend our money, saints. We can do whatever we want to do when we say there is no God. Saints, why is it so much easier to believe that humans have evolved from some magical explosion than to believe that there is a God who actually created us? That God who wants the best for us, a God that loves us, saints. Why is it so much easier for us to believe that we descended from some monkey, saints, than to believe that there was a God who taught about love, a God who taught about forgiveness, a God who taught about sacrifice, saints? It's easier to say we came from monkeys, because then we can act like we're monkeys that live at the zoo. Saints, there are many evidences that Jesus is real. The places that he were are real. The things that he said are real. The people that he encountered are real, saints. But the biggest evidence of Jesus, saints, is our changed lives. Yeah. Our changed lives, saints. No other God can do what Jesus does in our lives. No other God can take a lonely bunch of sinners and bring them up and say, "You are my children." No other God can do that. Everyone that encounters Jesus in the saints, and when I say encounter, I'm not talking about a little brush up against Jesus. I'm talking about you fully dive in and you get Jesus and you let Jesus get you. Everyone that encounters Jesus changes. You cannot stay the same. When you know the living God, you cannot stay the same. You cannot walk the same. You cannot think the same. Everything about you becomes different, saints. There's something about Jesus, saints, that caused this young virgin girl to say, "Lord, I will risk my life by carrying you in my womb," saints. There was something about Jesus that caused these 12 disciples and these women that gathered around him to drop everything that they were doing and say, "I'll follow you, Lord." There was something about Jesus that caused the Apostle Paul to go from being a murderer to a follower, saints. There's something about you, Lord Jesus, that causes Christians as a whole to say that I am a Christian. I am different. I am set apart. I am sanctified and redeemed because of my Savior, saints. There's something about Jesus that makes them stand up and shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest," saints. There's something about Jesus, saints, that makes us as Christians declare to the world that Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the Lord of Lords, saints. And only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? You see, saints, when we're in despair in our lives and we're struggling and we're down and we don't know what we're going to do with ourselves and things in our lives are so bad, saints. Things get so fast, saints. We just need to remember what it is and who we know. I know Jesus. I know Jesus. And Jesus is not just a man who walked upon this earth, I know God through Jesus Christ, saints. There's something about Jesus that can bind up the brokenhearted and heal them. There's something about Jesus that can restore and renew. There's something about Jesus that can cast out evil, saints. There's something about Jesus that tears down strongholds in our lives, saints. There's something about Jesus. 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 Saints, so when we're struggling, saints, to try to figure out, is this really real? Is this really true? We only need to look at ourselves and be reminded of that day when you first met Jesus. Because if Jesus is not real, then the experience you had was not real. That time when you prayed so deeply, it wasn't real if Jesus is not real, saints. That time when you thought you couldn't get up and you got up, it's because Jesus is real. That time when you didn't know where that job was coming from and you got that job, it's because Jesus is real. That time when you thought you were at the pits of despair and somebody brought you up, it's because Jesus is real, saints. But I know, saints, that many of you still are struggling. And you feeling like, oh, that's just some fuzzy feeling. It's not a fuzzy feeling, saints. But I want us to, I started out by telling you about all our praise week, saints. The cast have been rehearsing so hard, saints. Because they really want to show you what it looked like. What did it look like? What did it feel like to see the welts across his back? What did it feel like to see the blood drip down his face and onto his body? What did it sound like to hear those nails go into his hands and his feet, saints? Saints, I don't want you to answer these questions today. I want you to just hold on. And I want you to come back throughout Holy Week. I want you to be here early on Thursday. I want you to be here early on Friday. Then I want you to be here super early on Saturday, Sunday when Pastor Rick comes back with part three, saints, because this story is not over. There's so much yet for us to understand about who Jesus is, saints. So all I want us to do right now is to open our hearts, open our minds, and just ask Jesus, show me who you are. Show me who you are. Reveal to me, Lord Jesus, who you are. Ask yourself the question that Jesus asked those disciples. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Saints, let us take a moment to pray. Gracious God, you are so good. You are so amazing.